is sitting in well with his disciples and is not looking very happy because he's about to go through something that will be very, very tragic. The kind of death that only criminals were allowed to go through. It was the highest form of death according to the Roman culture, to crucify a man. Hallelujah. And there were 12 disciples. Now please follow me. I need you to understand it. We're talking about the exchange. We must understand the revelation of the communion. Now, many times you read scripture, you see that Paul spoke about his oneness. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. The Bible says we partook of the sufferings of Christ. And therefore, we are supposed to be partakers of that glory now. But how did we partake in the sufferings of Christ? Because the Bible makes us to understand that Jesus suffered alone. There's no record of me and you helping him and say, Jesus, all right, let me be holding your standard while you are holding the cross. None of us was there. We're not even born. Now, Paul is speaking in 1 Peter chapter, Peter is speaking, I'm sorry, not Paul. Peter is speaking and letting the people know that we were partakers of his suffering. And so we'll also be partakers of the glory that follows. But how did we partake of the suffering? That's what I want to explain to you now. You have to understand that in the mystery of the communion. Now, I think in John chapter 8, if I'm not mistaken, either chapter 8 or chapter 10, Jesus began speaking with the disciples and he told them something. He said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. They hated him because of this kind of teaching. That's why a lot of people look at Christianity as a cult. How can you say you eat somebody's flesh and blood? What is that not what occultic people do? Now you need to understand that they mimic it from the word of God. Hallelujah. That you eat of his body and drink of his flesh. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration. How that a man is the same mystery that happens between a man and a woman. Are you following me now? The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father's house and cleave to his wife. And they two, although they are two different people, in the realm of the spirit, they become one flesh. Hallelujah. Are you getting blessed? And so Jesus was saying, I want to come into a point of union and intimacy with you. Because that was the original state of man. He was in perfect unity with the Spirit of God. And for that to be possible, he said, I need you to be in me while I suffer. So that you will be in me and with me in my glory. Are you understanding? This is the basis of the exchange. The word exchange means you come and stand here and I come and stand here. I take your position so that you take my position. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And I'm trying to give us the basis of the exchange. It started with the communion. And so, having told them that they must eat his blood, eat his body, his flesh, and then drink his blood. Now, Jesus was sitting with them in the Last Supper. Listen, please, very important. You need to get this revelation. In the Last Supper, Jesus sat with them at table. And they were 12. Why 12? Because 12 is the prophetic number of a government. Are you following me? In the realm of the spirit, 12 symbolizes government. And what do a government represents? The people. Yeah. Are you following me? So the 12 disciples there were prophetically representing the entire human race. Are you following me, please? So they were representing the entire human race. And so Jesus broke himself, the bread of life, now broke the bread and said, eat my flesh. And they ate. They physically ate the flesh. When they took the bread, they didn't understand what they were doing. They were just eating. But he was permitting him to enter a covenant so that the exchange could be possible. Are you getting blessed, please? The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I have a question. How did we get there? This is the whole journey. From the communion table. Are you following me now? So that everything you will do from that time will be us doing it in him and with him. Because according to God's justice, everybody suffers for his sin. Are you following me now? The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so if God were to be just, then that means every man, all of us will have to carry our cross and go and die. Now, but God had a better plan that Satan didn't know. And this was the plan. God said, all right, let the whole world come into one man. Are you following me now? Wow. Let the whole world of sinners come into one man. So that whatever that man is doing, the whole world is doing it by covenant. You get me now? So Jesus needed to put all of us inside of him so that the exchange could be possible. Now, Satan did not understand this. That's why Paul was speaking. He said, if they had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's the reason why when all the people mocked Jesus, Jesus said, forgive them, because they were in him by covenant. You see the reason why when the woman was caught in adultery, although it was true, he said, woman, where are thine accusers? He said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Why? She didn't need to die because she was soon going to be in him by covenant. And he was going to go and die for her. You understand? So although they were right, according to the Mosaic law, that when a woman is caught in adultery, she's stoned to death. But he said, all of you need salvation. And so like this woman, I'm going to die for all of you. So Jesus was not just going on a lonely road to go and die. No. It was the whole mankind in him. Because if God were to be judged, to be just, then the whole earth would have to be judged like the time of Noah. So that every one of us will be wiped for our sins. Are you following me now? And so Jesus became you and me in the curse. So while they were taking the bread, he was happy because they were giving, it was a covenant. The whole world was participating. And when the moment they took the blood, he knew that it had been completed. Are you following me now? And so Jesus could now go to the Gethsemane for the spiritual exchange to begin. Now the disciples did not understand this until the time of Paul, because Paul was given his insight by revelation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, he who knew no sin became sin. How did he become sin? By that agonizing exchange. So he went to the Garden of Eden. He went to Gethsemane. And he cried alone. Because in Gethsemane, he was becoming the second Adam. Are you following me? Please, are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
He was becoming the second Adam. So let's examine what happened to the first Adam. The first Adam fell spiritually. I told you that spiritual death is separation from the Spirit of God, correct? So if Jesus were to become the second Adam, it means the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why he was crying. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup be taken of me. What cup? The cup of separation. Because the Trinity had never been separated. In the beginning, Elohim. At the creation of man, Elohim. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. There had never been a separation. Now, for the first time, the Father and the Holy Spirit will be disunited from the Word. Because he had now become you and me. Are you following me now?
Yeah.
And so the Holy Ghost left him. And at that point, he became the embodiment of sin. At that point, Jesus was no longer the righteous, holy Jesus. At that time, he became every embodiment of every prostitute, embodiment of every thief. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Embodiment of every liar. That's what was represented in him. That's why when he got up, instantly from that time, the Father never looked at him again. Because everyone who sinned, the Father turned his face from him. Now that Jesus had become a sinner, the Father had to turn his face from him. Are you following me now? And so from that time, when they caught Jesus Christ, they caught all of us in him. Now they did not understand. This is where the exchange starts. That whatever Jesus went through was an exchange for your redemption. So let's examine the passion of the Christ. From the communion, the relevance of the communion was number one. It created a basis for union in suffering. And now, if Jesus did not resurrect, then the purpose of the communion is useless. Are you following me now? It's just like, let me give you an example. Come with that. Let me explain to you the mystery of communion. If I want to start a business, for instance, and Mukhtar has been there for me, we drank Gari together. When I get blessed, will he not chop too?
No.
You understand? And so, you can't come and reap where you didn't sow. So, now God said, man, come, let's suffer together. But I love you too much. You don't have the physical strength and the spiritual strength to suffer. And so, I will go for you. So that when it's time for the glory, Satan cannot accuse you of the glory.
Yay.
Are you following me now? Yeah. So when Satan looks at you today, see, if you understand the covenant of the communion, you will know that this is the secret of divine health. Yeah. Because every time Satan comes and tells you that he has a legal access over your body, you tell him that the price for your health has been paid in Christ.
Hallelujah.
So you not only say Jesus paid it, but I paid it in him.
Oh my God.
Are you understanding this?
Yeah.
Praise God. God bless you. And so in Christ, when they held him, it was a type of captivity. All of us were being held in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When they stripped him naked, all of us were being stripped in Christ. We're paying in him, we're paying, everyone was paying for the legal claims of justice. So it's not just enough to believe that Jesus died for you. You must also believe that you died in him. It's one dimension to believe he died for you. But it's another dimension to believe that you died in him. That's why the secret from everything Paul says, you see him saying, in Christ, we make our boast in the Lord. In Christ. In Christ. Because outside of Christ, you don't have a basis. Many people try to heal the sick, not in Christ. Many people try to be successful outside of Christ. The basis of your victory as a believer is in Christ. When you cast out devils with the consciousness that you are in Christ, they will respond to you the same way they will respond to Jesus. Are you getting blessed? You see the power of the communion. So every time you take the communion, what happens is that in the realm of the spirit, you are enforcing, you are reenacting the fact, you are announcing to the realm of the spirit that I am one with Christ. I participated with him in his suffering. And therefore, I stand on a legal basis, not begging. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Not begging. I stand on a legal basis. Haven't participated in his suffering. I am qualified by the blood of the Lamb to enjoy the blessings and the heritage that is mine as a result of his resurrection. But how many times do they share that when we are taking communion? And someone is just preaching his words. Sorry, that library. But then she's Jivi. And it's not the same. All kinds of sinners just put two hands and carry welfare and throw it in their mouth. Without realizing the power that can be released if taken with revelation. Many of you will be surprised as we take the communion tonight. That's why I'm teaching on this. So that when you take the communion, it will dissolve sickness in your body. Tumors and growths will disappear. Not because the communion has any power in itself, but the revelation of what you are doing releases tremendous spiritual power. Hallelujah. And so when they began to beat Jesus Christ, he said, by his stripes, were healed. So when they were beating Jesus Christ, what happened? In him, we were being beaten also. Are you understanding, please? Now you say, but this is self. How can I believe this thing now? That's what the Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to believe God.
Yeah.
Ah! I say now, who won? Us. Were you there?
Yeah.
Were you there? But by the revelation of covenant, are you following me now?
Yes,
they say, who won? You say, us. Who is us? The person who scored doesn't even know you. For many of us, go to a point of signing. I understand that all these football clubs have their branches in Nigeria, I mean, where you can sign for to be a member of them. I think something like that in Lagos. Some people just brought something together to make money for themselves. And there are people signing it even with ID cards. I'm a fan of Arsenal and a fan of it. Now, it's the extent to which you are showing your participation. And when they win, you see people feeling depressed.
Ah.
Why? The consciousness of their participation.
Man.
These principles work in our everyday life except our spiritual life. Someone says, mind you, you're a bad thing. You give me a dirty slap. Why? Because you believe you are defending the interests of the people who don't even know you. When they put a crown of thorn, a crown is the seal of a king's royalty. There's no king without crown.
Yeah.
A crown and a scepter. And so when they put a crown of thorn on his head, there was an exchange going on there. The suffering, that mockery, was restoring to us our position as kings and priests. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. The Bible says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign, not in heaven, on this earth.
Mm.
That's why we sing the song, You Reign. And I like saying, I reign because you reign.
Mm.
Psalm 82, he said, know ye not that ye are God,
mm,
and children of the Most High? He said, they know not, neither do they understand. And so the earth is out of course.
Mm.
So I see a mystery under the sun. The servants are riding on horses while the princes are watching us. Because they do not know. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 lamented. And Hosea was lamenting and he said, my people perish, not because Satan is strong, for lack of knowledge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you getting blessed?
Mm.
And so when Jesus was beaten, we were paying the price in him. When he stood before Pharaoh, and I like mentioning Pharaoh, forgive me, Herod and Caesar and all the people that he stood before. When he stood before that, it was a type of accusation. And now in him, there was a covenant, an exchange of liberty. That's why Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation.
Hallelujah.
To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set them free from the law of sin and death. So there was an exchange. And then Galatians chapter 3 from, I think, verse 10 or 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man. Where was it written? In the Jewish law. That any man that was crucified on a cross was cursed. I hope you know that there was a curse upon the human race as a result of the fall. Now, when Jesus Christ held that cross, it was a symbolism of him carrying the curse. Are you following me now?
Mm-hmm.
So in him, we were paying the price of the curse. That's the reason. See, if you understand this, all this issue of they cursed me from my village, it will end permanently in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not understand it, it will still follow you.
Yeah.
Because it takes revelation to give you access in the realm of the spirit.
Hmm.
That's why a lot of people say, me, God forbid, they are not marrying in our village. Me, I'm going to marry you. And they don't take time to get the revelation in their life. And then they see that the same thing they said will follow you is following you, obviously. Hmm. You only arise and shine to the extent to which your life comes.
Yes.
So when your light has not come, you cannot arise. You can pretend to arise. But if you want to fully arise and shine, you will only do that on account of the fact that your light has come. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why this revelation is so important. We can just come and celebrate and rejoice and take communion and go back. But it will not do you any good. But when you have this revelation, it will, remember the vision I shared about what revelation does in the realm of the spirit. For those of you who were not there when I shared it, let me share it with you. I was praying and I had a vision, and the door was a big door that looked like a scroll. It was both a door and an ancient, it was like a big book, this Jewish wooden book. And it was open. And then I saw many doors inside. And then I don't know how it zoomed in for me, but I could see that on every door was a scripture there. And then I looked and said, Lord, what is the meaning of this? And the Lord told me, he said, for every scripture, every revelation of the word that enters you, the corresponding door is open for you in the realm of the spirit.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. That's why what is possible for someone may not be possible for another.
Mm-hmm.
The degree of light that is in your spirit, mm-hmm, is what puts you in charge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, rule down in the midst of your enemy. Mm-hmm. That's why something can be killing another person. And somebody will just walk through it as if Satan does not exist.
Mm.
You see the importance of life and revelation. That's why I'm taking out time to explain this. When this revelation, let me tell you something, friends. I used to be oppressed by demons. Every time I say it, people don't believe it. For those of you who feel you have been oppressed, you don't know what oppression is. Listen, it was so bad that I can be in the room lying down. I can hear people talking, but I can't wake up. Have you ever had that kind of terrible thing? It was so bad. It started when I was in secondary school. It was so terrible that I would sleep at the edge of the bed so that if this thing starts, I would try to push myself. It was horrible. Then I started reading Kenyon's books. What happened from the cross to the throne?
Hallelujah.
In his presence.
Hallelujah.
I started reading. I said, this enough is enough. When you get dissatisfied with some things in your life, then it will change.
Mm.
Mm. Let me tell you where the miracle happened. Right at this court, then there was no fear. I prayed and God put this light in my spirit. I ran to BZ. I used to stay at Bureau BZ. I literally ran. I went to my room, a PQ. I shouted. I said, that demon that oppresses me, you are invited this night. From that day till today, if I'm awake, it's because I'm walking. Light. Light is shining in the darkness. Jesus. Oyedepo shared something that happened to him one time. He was in the room and armed robbers entered. Armed robbers just entered the room and he was praying in tongues in the parlor. As soon as he entered, they were looking around. They were hearing his voice, but they couldn't see him. He was there, he was praying in tongues. They couldn't see him. And when people asked him, they said, why? He said, because he's high above them. He's seated with Christ. See, I know that people hear this and they're like, that's why you remain where you are. Until faith stops becoming foolishness to you, you are not ready to walk in the realm of the spirit. We need to be delivered from this scientific thing. These are scientific Christianity. Logic, show me. It's not everything in the faith that can be explained.
Yeah.
That's why it's not called understanding. It's called faith.
Yeah.
If you want to wait till you understand everything to walk with God, you are in trouble. That's why the disciples never said, sorry, yo, how did 5 loaves feed these people? Sometimes we become too scientific. And let me tell you, God is not obliged to explain everything to you.
Yes, sir.
He's obliged to respond to your faith, whether you understand or not.
Mm.
Are you getting blessed?
Yes,
sir. I want to say, how can bread and zobo or wine or whatever drive demons? Ask your native doctor how a chicken can bring money to your house. Ask the native doctor how bathing by 12 a.m. can suddenly make somebody transport himself from abroad and come and say, I must marry you. We don't ask the questions when people do evil. But when God does it, we ask all kinds of stupid questions. People still ask whether God can bless people. Can God really give people money? When you go to a native doctor and he does all of this, can God really heal people? Can steal the miracles? Forget all the people that just lie. How can they say they had the growth and the growth went away? No, forget that. All these people are just deceiving us. How can God speak to people? But countless people have given testimonies and say the devil told me you not make it. Nobody say, devil, did you hear him? But when we say God spoke to me, people say, oh, guy, you are drinking tea with him, baby. How come our minds are too naked? Hallelujah. And Jesus carried that cross. And when he went to Golgotha, they nailed him. When they nailed him, that blood was flowing. See, the blood was a sign of mortality. Please, I need you to get this revelation. The blood in a man is a sign of mortality. When the original man was created, there was no blood in him. The Bible does not record Jesus doing any blood transfusion. He said, he made mud and breathed upon it and it became a living soul. So what happened that blood later came into man? Long story. And that blood was draining out. The blood was that was draining out wasn't just a type of atonement. It was also a restoration of life. Because it was an exchange. An exchange. An exchange. But do you believe it?
Yes.
Now, according to, let me explain to you the power of the cross now. I want to show you the power of the cross. You know, many times we say the cross is powerful. What is powerful about the cross? The wood? No. But the activity that happened on the cross. Now, according to the Jewish custom, okay, the priest would carry the lamb. And according to the law that was given to the priest, the lamb would have to be 1 year old. It had to be a male without spot or wrinkle. Are you following me now? And the age of the lamb was equivalent to the validity of the atonement. So you can know how far your atonement can last by knowing the age of the lamb you killed. So every year, during the Day of Atonement, they will have to repeat it. That's why the age of the lamb had to be 1 year. Are you listening to me, please? The word atone means to cover so that I do not see it again. You cover. Now, when Jesus came, he wanted to atone for our sins. Let me tell you something about the power of the cross. The book of Hebrews makes us understand. He said, we have not an high priest. So Jesus was a high priest. Just in the similitude of the high priest who offered sacrifice, and he was the lamb. Both the high priest and the lamb. Hallelujah. And now, Jesus laid down his life like that lamb. And when his blood started dripping out, it was the same thing as the blood of that lamb that would drip out. And it would be used. That's the reason why when Jesus resurrected, Mary wanted to touch him. And she said, Rabboni. And he said, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended. And the book of Hebrews tells us that he ascended and poured his blood upon the heavenly tabernacle. Now, but we need to realize that for you to know the validity of your atonement is to know the age of the lamb that died for you.
Hey.
And so he called himself in the book of Daniel. Daniel said, I saw one like the ancient of days. He said, and a kingdom was given unto him. And he said, of that kingdom there shall not be any end. Now that ancient of days, the one who does not have time, who began the beginning.
Hey.
Now, Satan, did you understand that this was what was happening? Foolish man.
Foolish.
And Jesus allowed himself to be killed. See, if I decided to die for man, even if he walked, he would only be according to my age. Are you following me now? So, if you are 4 years, for instance, and you say, Kai, philanthropy, I'm dying for the world. After 4 years, according to the Mosaic law, they'll need to find another man again. So Jesus said, let's end this one. And now he became the lamb. So when he died, he poured his blood once and for all. So the only time, the time you will need atonement ever in your life is when Jesus stopped existing. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And that Word was with God, and that Word is God. Therefore, one of the revelations of the cross is our eternal atonement. That forever, every time God looks at you, he has to look at you through the blood. And anything that is seen through the blood is holy. That's why the Holy Ghost comes upon you. To prove that you have been declared holy by God. Now, hear me. You don't become holy because you run away from David. I've said it again and again. You are holy because the spirit that makes men holy has come upon you. Let me prove it to you. Moses was standing at the backside of the mountain tending Jethro, his father-in-law's sheep. And the Bible tells us that he saw a bush that was burning and would not be consumed. And Moses said, let me turn aside and see. And the Bible records that when God saw that, that can be found in Exodus chapter 3. When God saw that Moses turned aside, he told him, Moses, remove your shoes. For where thou standest is holy ground. Who swept the ground?
Hey.
A dusty ground that they have been passing every day suddenly became holy because the presence of the Holy One. So you are not just holy because you want to be holy. Every time the presence of God comes upon you, that's what makes you holy. So even if you don't have the Holy Spirit, the holiness of God is not in you. Even if you seem to be a nice religious person, you are not holy. So the Holy Spirit makes men holy. One revelation of the cross. The power of the cross is number one. It guarantees our eternal atonement. The blood of Jesus was dripping down. Now listen, please. I need you to realize that as a result of the blood of Jesus, our sins were atoned for. Hear me. Hear me, please. We were saved, but we were not born again. If Jesus just shed his blood alone, you will not be born again. Your sins will only be atoned for. Because in the Jewish culture, the lamb was so they were saved for 1 year, but none of them was born again. For you to be born again, your old man has to be replaced to become a new man. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. That's why Jesus had to die. Are you listening to me? Because blood was already dripping from his body before he died. So why did he die? I'll tell you why he died. When he died, he went to hell. I hope you know that. Because he was a sinner. And when sinners die, where did they go to? That's where me and you would have been going to, correct? So he went there for us. Are you getting it now? Now realize that he defeated Satan in the perfection of man. He didn't defeat Satan with the assistance of the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost was not in him. So when he went to hell, all the demons and the satanic forces were on him. Satan had used negotiation and diplomacy to make Jesus bow. Now that he refused, all the demons came. Now when Jesus died, there was rejoicing in hell because Satan finally said, "The seed, I have conquered the seed." You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that seed I've been looking for through Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, now I finally killed the seed. And while Satan was rejoicing, he received a big visit on hell. Suddenly he saw the Lord of glory stepped in as an ordinary man. And when he stepped in, he went straight to, the Bible says, all the demons were upon him, forcing him to bow, to acknowledge the lordship of Satan. Sign of oppression. The Bible says when the legal claims of justice had been satisfied, the Bible says he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in judgment. And after that, he went to Satan. He said, "Give me the keys." What keys? What keys? The keys that Adam gave him. Remember, the whole thing was restoration. Adam gave him keys. Because I'll prove it to you that Satan was the prince of the system before Jesus died. He told Jesus, he said, "I'll give you all of this world." Jesus didn't say, "Can you give me?" Because he knew it was true. He was given to Adam.
That's right.
And until that point, Jesus was not with the key. It was with Satan. It was when he died, he collected the key. Let me prove it to you. Revelation chapter 1. He said, I am he that was dead. Now it's alive. I hold the key. Hallelujah. And so he held that key. And in that key, he judged Satan. And he emerged triumphant. But the beautiful part is that by covenant, all of us collected the keys to our destiny.
Hallelujah.
We collected the keys by the covenant. That's what was happening. Are you following me now? And so when Jesus defeated Satan in hell, that whole drama, Satan and all the demons were defeated. Then what happened? Jesus, on his way out, that's the revelation that is found in Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, O ye angels. Because it was war that happened in hell. And now Jesus had triumphed as a great warrior. Now, those ancient gates and doors don't open themselves anyhow. Now they were surprised that a man was asking them to be lifted and be opened. And the gates asked a question. They said, "Who is the King of Glory?" And there was a reply. He said, is the Lord strong? Why strong? Because he just defeated him. The Lord strong. Now, this was the interplay. This was what was happening in those 3 days. By this time, there was war in hell, brother. This Saturday. War in hell.
Man, Lord of glory.
Look, he deserves to be worshipped.
Yes,
when you read Revelation 5 and you see the way they say who is worthy, it was the issue of qualification. Who is qualified to open the book and unlock the scrolls? The Bible says there was a cry. Because no one in heaven, under the earth, all the kings. That was the construction of Isaiah 20, of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. Because until that time, several kings were claiming ownership of the land of the earth. And by the Spirit, the psalmist said, all of you are wasting your time. The earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. The walls and they that dwell therein. And then he said, who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And this is the qualification. He that hath clean hands. And a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He said he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. Then he said, lift up your head. And so Jesus had triumphed over Satan, and all the gates and ancient doors were standing, so that he would not resurrect. Because if Jesus defeated Satan and didn't resurrect, guess what will happen? Till now, his body would have been in Jerusalem. Because he was not born of human origin. So his body cannot decay. Because the body is the living logos. His body would have still been there. He would not be he would have not resurrected. But the body cannot decay. The type of the body of Jesus was the bread that was in the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark, that the bread that came from heaven that would not decay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So Jesus needed to resurrect. His resurrection validated that we were justified.
Yeah.
If he did not resurrect, then the aim of everything, Christianity and religion, is just nonsense. And so the gates were stopping him. And he said, lift up your head, O ye gates. Remember, those gates were not just iron bars. Hallelujah. Those gates were people, because they spoke. They replied.
Yeah.
They said, who is this King of glory? In other words, we have never done this for anyone. He said, he is the Lord God, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And he said, lift up your head, O ye gates. And they asked a question. They said, who is this King of glory? And he said, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord of hosts is his name. And they opened the gates. And on the third day, I don't want to touch down and say, it's tomorrow. Hallelujah. Well, you see the mystery of the communion. We enter the covenant of partnership, of oneness. So the relevance of the communion is that you are one. You were one in suffering, and so you are now one in glory. That's the reason why you are anointed, because you are one with the anointed one. That's the reason why you are wise, because you are one with the wise one. That's the reason why you are powerful, because right now you answer his name. We have also now become Christ. The word Christ is the Greek word Christos. The anointed one and his anointed. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 11 verse 15, it says the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our God and of we, his Christ. So we have now become the anointed one. One with him. That's the reason why he calls us the bride. Because the only way he has to show us our extent of intimacy is a man and a woman. Therefore, shall a man leave his father's house and cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Now he calls the church his bride. We have left our father's house. Remember my message before? Some years ago, one bestseller I preached here. Come out of your father's house. Who was our father? The old man, the old nature, Satan, our system. Are you following me now? And now we are one with him. So the communion reenacts our oneness. Every time you take the communion, you are telling that sickness that I am one with Christ. Every time you take the communion, you tell failure, I am one with Christ. You tell death, you tell defeat, You tell discouragement, I am one with Christ. I am one with Christ. I am one with Christ. And you may not see anything happen to you physically, as it were. How be it in the realm of the spirit, there is a reestablishment of that covenant of oneness. The cross is the place of the exchange. The cross is the place of power. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The cross represents freedom. It represents the place of suffering. Exchange. Exchange of his weakness. Our weakness is for his strength. Our limitations for his unlimited ability. Our frailty for his power. Our foolishness for his wisdom. Our sickness for his health. Our poverty, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So the exchange of my weaknesses for his strength, the exchange of my limitation for his power, the exchange of my inferiority for his majesty and splendor. He said, before Abraham was, I am. The cross is the place of the exchange. That's why we can trade all. We say, I'm trading my sorrow, my weakness, my shame. The cross is like a bank. You trade your limitations. You trade your weaknesses. You trade your eternal condemnation and receive of his life. That was what Jesus did for me and for you. So you see that it's a terrible thing to reject Jesus Christ. It's not the issue of just being born again. How could you reject such an offer? You see the reason why there's punishment on those who reject it? That's why the Bible says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will convict you of three things: of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. John 16. What is the conviction of sin? He lets you understand that there was an original agenda and that man fell. He had now become a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. He brings you to that state where you realize that as a result of the fall, you are doomed to die. He creates a need for a savior in you. Then he gives you the revelation of righteousness, the finished work of Jesus Christ. He begins to help you understand the passion of the Christ. How that for the love that Jesus had for you, he went and by the covenant of union and exchange, it's called the substitutionary work of Christ. Listen, according to scripture, when you kill a man, his blood will haunt you. You see why Satan is threatened by the blood of Jesus? Because when Cain killed Abel, the blood of Abel cried and it tortured Cain. So Satan, Jesus allowed Satan to kill him, and forever the blood of Jesus cries. So every time you come on under the covering and the consciousness of the blood of Jesus, Satan remembers what he did and the victory that was won. That's the power of the blood. That's the power of the blood. According to scripture, whoever you kill, his blood will be on your head. Remember the Jewish nation. They say, let his blood be on our head. So the blood of Jesus always. And listen. See, the Bible says they know not, neither do they understand. If you know how Satan hates for this revelation to enter the church. Because when we come to a point, you will walk in dominion and power. Lord, with the blood of Jesus, you don't even know what you are saying. That's why it's not powerful. Forever, the blood of Jesus haunts every demon, every devil. You know why? You know why? Because this, that's the wisdom of God. Whoever killed Jesus Christ, Satan manipulated the people, and it was the spirit that caused them to kill Jesus. While they were nailing him, he didn't know he was implicating himself. Now that Jesus resurrected, the Bible says that the seal, we have been sealed. Listen, the blood of Jesus has sealed you. It covered you. The word atonement is a covering. So all You are always covered in the blood. Listen, this is very, very important. Every time I share about the cross, I like sharing a story of a lady I prayed for who was in the occult. And this lady looked at me. I remember one of the descriptions she was saying was that on my forehead, she saw a seal of the blood. Because according to Jewish customs, when it was time for the angel of death to pass by, what happened? He told Moses, he said, put the blood on the lintel. Why? It was a prophetic type of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. When the angel of death went came to the land of Israel, he found out that some people had already died. So he passed by. Everywhere the angel saw blood, it told him that the people there had already died.
Yeah.
So he passed by and looked for those who were alive. And that's why Paul said, I have been crucified. In other words, when you come, you find a dead man.
Yeah.
In the old me, I am dead already. Dead to my sin. Dead to my former life. Dead to my weakness. Only alive in Christ. Brother, get this revelation. That's why the cross is powerful. It's not about the wound.
No.
The next time you sing any song that has to do with the blood, next time you sing any song that has to do with the cross, next time you put a crucifix on your neck, understand the revelation. Satan dreads you when you have this revelation. Satan dreads you. So you see that the believer is a powerful person.
Yeah.
We do not understand what Jesus Christ did for us. He wasn't just dying to give us salvation. No. Hallelujah. And I need you to understand that the name Jesus, let me say something about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not just a weapon. The name of Jesus, the name Jesus, you need to realize that, it's not just the name that was given to a man. The name Jesus is an office. Do you understand? Just like you say presidency. Are you following me now? So, if they say, where do you work? You say the presidency, correct? Whether you're a director, whether you're a caterer, you work where? In the presidency. So, when he gave us his name, he didn't just give us an identity. He gave us his office. So that we can stand and represent him. So we move in that name. When you say somebody from the presidency is coming, you don't know who. It can be the president. It can be a cleaner in Aso Rock. So you prepare because someone from the presidency is coming. So the name Jesus is not just the name of a man. Every time you mention Jesus, you invoke the power that is in that office. Hallelujah. So Jesus defeated Satan. Make no mistakes about it. God bless you. Please let me say something. I don't mean to hurt anybody or any denomination, but let me say this. Friends, listen. Satan will not be defeated. Satan has been defeated. Stop trying to defeat him. Are you listening to me? Stop trying to defeat Satan. There are many people today who have not experienced victory in their life. I say it with all humility. I have the experience and the audacity to say what I'm saying. I have led hundreds of people to crusades. By the grace of God, we are still standing. I've casted out several devils out of people, individually and in mass. No demon has come to oppress me. The reason is many people have been made to see that Satan is so powerful, oh. Satan is powerful. There's one demon, level 444, level 555, level 777. And sometimes when we read the stories of people who were in occult grandmaster now in Christ, or any of these people, that Igbo lady in the East, I think she's late now, who wrote the books and all the names of the demons and the power they had and all of these things, you know, we just read now, they may not be lying. But what I'm telling you is that they are only speaking in the realm of the spirit. What did they tell you Jesus did to the demon?
Mm-hmm.
Satan has been defeated. I say it again. Satan has been defeated. Not just him. Satan is the highest of the demonic kingdom. He has been defeated. Every other demon is a small boy. He has been defeated. Until you believe this, you will never be free of oppression. Two or 3 weeks or so ago, went for a crusade in Southern Kaduna. And when I came out from Lagos, went for a crusade there. And as soon as I entered the room, I entered the room and I just lay down. When they checked us in just to rest before the program, I lay down. And Manasseh and Jaffa were in one room, and then I was in the other room. I just lay down. And the next thing, I just sensed a demonic presence. And there a demon was standing by my side. So when I tell you Satan is powerful, friends, I've seen demons. Yeah, it's because you have not seen them. You have not seen the one I saw. Because in the physical realm, the strength of a man is by his size. In the realm of the spirit, the strength of a man is by his authority. Mm-hmm. That's what we do not realize. In this realm, if I'm small and you are big, I can oppress you by my strength. In the realm of the spirit, see, the classical example of the realm of the spirit is the military. Mm-hmm. A general who is as short as this can make a corporal or any officer who is there, he can make the man roll on the floor. It's about authority. Exousia, we call it. The capacity to stand in the office of one. I told you that the name Jesus is an office. So when you see a demon, there are demons that are as big as these three you are seeing. Mm-hmm. These three. And when you see them in the realm of the spirit, they look fierce. They don't look like they can respond to the name of Jesus. That's just true. And when I turned and I looked at the demon, he asked me a question. He said, "What are you doing here?" That's what he asked me. Very respectfully, "What are you doing?" Not because my name is Joshua, but because anywhere I am, the kingdom of God is there.
Yeah.
You see that? It's not pride, it's the fruit. Yeah. You represent the kingdom.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I had a dream one time, and in the dream I saw one man, one big man, barbed all his hair. And then he was talking. I was in the house, and he wore red, you know, like a cultic, this thing. And he was showing me his pictures that he had snapped with people. And then at the point, he sat at the table and we're talking. I don't know if we're playing chess or playing something. And he said something rude, and then I warned him. I said, "Don't say that again." And then the man looked at me. It was a dream. He looked at me, was like, "Ah, do you know the person you are talking to?" He said, "Do I know how many people he has seen?" Then he started listing the name of people and doing many things. I listened to him. When he finished, I just laughed. I said, "All you are saying is nonsense." I said, "Let me tell you where I stand." Then I started telling him of a positional advantage. Hear me. Believers, forever get this revelation. No matter how high you become in the realm of the spirit, your victory will have to be from your positional advantage. Are you listening to me? Please, let me have one lady here. I always like using, remember my good, anybody, please come. Let me use you. Hallelujah. Now, I like to show you the power of your oneness with Christ. Okay? Let's assume, for instance, all this ABU is my company. Yeah, I'm a very, very rich man. And then let's assume this lady, she's one who used to sweep this place. For instance, just an example. Alright? She sweeps this place. And then I came and I liked this lady, and then I married her. Listen. Whether she looks like a village girl or she looks like beauty queen or what we call it. The day the pastor joins us, I do. You are now declared man and wife. What happened? She's a partaker of my inheritance. Instantly, she begins to bear my son name. Are you following me? The driver who used to insult her, now she say, "Please, can you open the door for me? Can you take me to the market?" The guy will murmur and say, "Madam," but he because she stands, for as long as she stands in the position of my wife, she's entitled to all the benefits that my authority commands. Are you following me now? If she has a right, she has the right to look at her fellow worker who they used to sweep together and say, "Kai, you were there for me. come. Now become the secretary of somebody's office. People say, Abba! But that's where it will stop. Because she's not acting in her capacity. Are you following me, please? So, the authority God gave man is not power that you have by yourself. It is God's power in you. So, every time you stand to cast out devils, you don't cast out devils because you think you have fasted 40 days. They will eat you up and eat your bones out. You stand as touching the authority of the one you represent. That's why Paul said, in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, I stand as touching his authority. Stand up. So he brought to bear the kingdom of God. The authority of the kingdom he represents. That's why when the centurion came, Jesus was asking a question, and the centurion said, for I am a man under authority. He just captivated Jesus. Jesus said, okay, I'm listening. I mean, this guy is speaking kingdom here. Talk to me. And he said, by reason of being under the authority of the Roman government, I can tell one, go, and he must go. Because if he does not go, the Roman government will deal with him. And Jesus said, I've not found this kind of revelation.
Hey.
The word faith, yes, the word revelation. I've not found a man with this kind of mindset. He said, because you know the power that an authority commands, go, your son is here. And the Bible says, that self-same power. That's the reason why you can see a mortal man doing the deeds of God. It is to the degree to which he has understood,
yes,
the capacity to represent the God of heaven. That's why you can look at someone who has been suffering and tell him, in the name of the Lord, you are free from this suffering. An issue that has been 30 years will suddenly end. Why? Because you brought the kingdom of God to bear. The governing influence of the Father. So you go home and find out that there's a challenge. See, that's the reason why when there's a challenge, God shows you in a dream. You know why? He's not showing you, I said it during Koinonia, he's not showing you to show you that you are spiritually matured. He's showing you because it is within your capacity to release his power. He is the word, but you are the voice that releases that word. Until you release the power of God, there cannot be a manifestation. And so why is the power of God crippled on the earth? Because the sons who are the doors to release that power either do not know or do not understand the operation of that power. This is what Jesus did for you and me. He brought us to a point of oneness, intimacy. And then he brought us to a point where there can be an exchange. This is where you are standing in sin, in failure, in shame, in poverty, in regret, under demonic oppression. And this is Jesus standing in a realm so invincible. And then he stepped out of that realm and came to your realm. And then he said, okay, join me in this suffering. And now that he had suffered and defeated Satan, he carried you and took you heavenly places. And he said, sit at my right hand. Remember that the right hand of a king is the most powerful. The right hand of a king, you know where we say, if you are my right man.
Yeah.
Right hand man. That means you're my correct man, apple of my eye. And now he took man and put man as it was. The position of power. And hear me, a king never sits down until there's peace in his land. And the Bible says we are seated. It never said we are standing. It's a symbolism that it is finished. Rest. Why are we standing? Who asked you to stand? Now, I don't mean haven't done all to stand, stand. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It means that whatever you do as a believer, you have to function from that standpoint of rest. Now, I know many of you will be asking this question. And say, okay, what about this demonic oppression and this thing? Are you trying to say demons don't oppress? Are you trying to say all of these demonic things, these manipulations of the atmosphere is not real? Listen to me. Listen to me. Satan will always try to contend with what God. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He will always try to show in your life that the word of God is not true. Are you listening to me? So what's your job as a believer? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. The realm of Satan's warfare is in the mind. It's not about killing people and praying for enemies to die. It's in the mind. He begins to bring thoughts. That's why the Bible says, casting down every yetsa. The word imagination there is the Greek word yetsa. It means imagination that is so strong that it can become a reality. So Paul said, the things that I shared have come upon me. Someone begins to put imagination. What if you die in this?